Due to technical difficulties, the analyst and investor call presentation on the occasion of the H1 2018 results of Appiano SE was re-recorded afterwards. This new recording does not affect the Q&A session following the presentation, which has been recorded properly. Both parts, re-recorded presentation and Q&A session, were technically combined into one recording afterwards. We apologize for this mistake.
Good morning. It's my pleasure to welcome you on behalf of the executive board of Appiano, together with my colleagues, Lutz Schaper, our CFO, and our new COO, Cornelius Ewerke, for our earnings call Q2 2018 and half first year 2018. As you realize, due to our announcement to the markets 7 days ago, the first half year of Appiano has been below the management expectations, mainly due to the reasons we have recently announced, which are the unsatisfying development of our segment Rest of Europe. Again, here mainly driven by our Swedish market in transition development, as well as an outstanding hot weather in Q2 in all major European countries and, of course, in all major European cities, which brought generally a lower footfall into the high streets. That all translates to group sales that Appiano could increase by 14% up to €175.1 million. On the other hand, our like-for-like trading, as I just mentioned, was below our expectations and declined by 2.2% in Q2. If we would adjust this for the already in Q1 announced market in transition Sweden, we would have seen a like-for-like decrease of 0.7% in Q2. Year to date, our like-for-like sales showed a decrease of 0.8%. Adjusted for the Swedish special situation, we would have shown an increase, though the hot weather circumstances and the World Championships in Q2 by +0.4% in the first half of the reported year. Our reported EBITDA could increase in total by 29.2% in the first half year. That means a margin increase of 0.6% to 4.8% to €8.4 million. In Q2, we reached a reported EBITDA of €1.6 million, as I just mentioned, mainly behind our expectations due to the like-for-like development. The adjusted EBITDA reached in Q2 €4.8 million. Year to date, we delivered €14 million adjusted EBITDA, and that sums up due to the reasons I just described to a margin decrease of 2.3% to 8% adjusted EBITDA performance. Our opening pipeline is fully on track as described in Q1. So first half year, we showed 9 restaurant openings. Year to date, as of today, we are running 18 new restaurants, all opened until this date, mid of September. The outlook for 2018, which I'm going to talk about a little bit later, we had to adjust exactly due to the Swedish development and the like-for-like in Q2. Our new openings with own equity, meaning in corporate restaurants and joint venture restaurants, are predominantly in the described growth markets. That means we opened 3 restaurants in France, we opened 3 restaurants in Austria, and we opened 1 in Germany, 1 in the Netherlands, 1 in Sweden. And for the first time, we could open a mini, which is now our fifth mini in our full portfolio in the United States, to get proof here for further potential to grow in Chicago. And last but not least, we opened in Spain our second restaurant after the good start we experienced in December last year in the heart of Barcelona. Our digital transformation and our digital initiatives are also in progress. We could open additional takeaway and home deliveries, and that sums up to 108 Vapianos as of today who are offering the takeaway and home delivery services. We could already deliver 7.5 million in the first half year just by takeaway and home delivery turnover. That's an increase on a non-like-for-like base due to the new openings of 73%. Many of them, of course, in the ramp-up phase. And the ones we had already opened last year, meaning they see like-for-like performance, could increase their like-for-like by 20%. Leading country here is Germany with 41 takeaway and home deliveries. And as you will see, the German performance in Q2, that helped a lot to fight against brick and mortars, like-for-like traffic issues due to hot weather and world championships. On the top line, Vapiano was growing, as I just mentioned. We have to recognize that we had, due to the reasons mentioned, a difficult Q2 that brought us on a top line development to, in total, an increase of almost 14%, 13.6% on a group basis to 88.8 million euros. Thereof, Germany could increase the turnover by 1.4% to 36.9%. The strongest increase we see in the rest of Europe, growing by 17.3% to 44.4%. So, rest of Europe is now considerably taking over the lead versus the German segment. Of course, here we see the impact of the openings of last year, 2017, and the openings of the first half year, 2018. Rest of world grew by 75.6% to almost 7 million euros, 6.7 to be detailed. This is mainly driven by the consolidation in Q2 of our joint venture in Australia. On a like-for-like base, we were competing in the first half year versus a significant 6.3% increase in 2017. And due to the facts that I just described in Q2, we showed a decrease of 2.2%. Without Sweden, or adjusted by the Swedish situation, we showed a slight negative development of 0.7%. Germany showed in Q2, although we had the World Championship and also in Germany an unusual hot weather circumstance, a decrease of 1.4% against an increase in the previous year of 7.4%. Rest of Europe, running against the base of plus 5.4%, showed a significant decrease by 3.2% in Q2. Without Sweden, we could grow even in rest of Europe. We would have shown an increase on a like-for-like base of plus 0.2%. And last but not least, the rest of world, which is in the sums of the net turnover, relatively small. We showed a small decrease of 0.7%. That's mainly due to Australia by minus 1.3% due to the Brisbane 2 construction in front of the restaurant. That brings us to a full year picture of a group increase of 14% to 175. Germany delivered 4.6 increase to 74.4 million. Rest of Europe 22.3% to 88.6 million. And due to the Australian situation in Q2, where we report that now as a consolidated turnover, we increased rest of world to 33.4%, meaning 10.5 million euros. First half year previous year showed a like-for-like increase of 5.8% due to the facts described. First half year shows now a negative deviation of 0.8%. Again, let me point that out, adjusted on the Swedish isolated market in transition situation, we increased on a like-for-like basis by 0.4%. Germany positive in the first half year, though the hot weather, though the European, the World Championships increased by 0.4%. Rest of Europe decreased by 2.2% versus 5.5% base before. Without the Swedish market situation, we would have shown here an increase close to the German increase by 0.3% like for like. And last but not least, we see a small increase in rest of world, who could increase the turnovers by 0.1% versus 6.8% like-for-like increase in the year before. Let me briefly talk about the main drivers on our overall development and the impact of the Swedish business. So, first of all, as I just mentioned, we saw a footfall decrease generally in Q2, and this is not a Vapiano isolated issue. This is an overall issue that you could see if you look on the reports of retail businesses, of restaurant businesses who are public in Q2. And this is predominantly driven by the hot weather, which brought traffic in the morning, which brought only the business traffic during noontime, and let's say the retail traffic and the kids traffic in the afternoon and in the evening, we saw strong decreases due to the hot weather situation. Just to give you an idea, only in Germany we had 35 days where we had more than 30 Celsius, which is very unusual for us. On the other hand, if you see normal impacts of championships, if you look on the historic data we have, we see a decrease of around 10% average. We could cover up a lot of this by our transformation to digital businesses, meaning takeaway and home delivery. So overall, the footfall decrease in the period, first half year, for the group shows a decrease of 2.9% footfall. If you take out the Swedish situation, the overall footfall decrease would have been 2.1%, predominantly coming from the hot weather situation in Q2 and the soccer event. Q1, we saw only a small decrease of 0.9%. Germany in first half year, due to the discussed impacts, shows 2.1% decrease. We could offset that decreased by an increase of our ticket sizes by 2.6%. This is not based on price increases. This is based on higher value of products sold and an increase of units per ticket sold. So we could increase here from 1030 to 1060. Rest of Europe showed the highest decrease in footfall in the first half year by 3.8%. If you take out the Swedish situation, the decline due to Q2 weather would have only been by 1.1%. And also in the rest of Europe, we could increase the ticket sizes by 1.7% to €12.70. Rest of world shows a decrease in footfall by 3.8%, but this is predominantly coming from the Q1 situation. As I just mentioned, in Q1 we had 8 days closure in our three Chicago restaurants due to the fact that the frozen pipes in Q1 in Chicago. Summing up here as well, a nice increase of 4.1% in the ticket sizes. This is coming predominantly from more units per ticket, but also 2% are coming from higher prices in the United States versus the reported period before. We will go a little bit more in detail on the Swedish situation in the course of the call, and I would like to hand over to Lutz, who will describe the transformation of the turnover development into our profitability, into our EBITDA.
Yeah, good afternoon or good morning, everybody, also from my side. Lutz Schaap is speaking here, CFO of the group. If you turn to page 8 of the presentation, you can see our dashboard for Q2 18, and as Jochen described before, it sums up the situation as it stands, and I would like to highlight first that we are still on the growing phase. So as you've seen, we grow system sales by roughly 14% and system sales by roughly 8% and net sales by roughly 14%. So this is still on the growth track, and we are satisfied with this development. Nevertheless, we couldn't convert that growth into restaurant contribution due to external factors as described, the hot weather situation, but also due to the Swedish development. And therefore, restaurant contribution dropped from 10.8 to 9.5% and the margin down from 14.4 to 11.2%. This converts as well into the adjusted EBITDA, which is reduced as well. In addition, the effect is also been seen on the overhead and headquarter cost. We have staffed up in certain environments to support the growth of the company, but as we have seen now that this growth was not materializing on the restaurant contribution, we have issued already a saving program for the second half of the year to reduce the headquarter cost further and to come back to a better level in percentage of sales. If you move over to the next page, you see that we could at least report a very stable situation in the German business. We have seen a small drop in EBITDA from 4.6 to 4.2, which is a drop in margin from 12.9 to 11.5. So overall, besides the hot weather conditions and the World Cup in Germany, we were able to stabilize the business on that level. The main issue for our result development comes from the European business, where we see a drop in margin from around 18% last year down to 11.6, and the drop in EBITDA from 6.7 to 5 on restaurant level, which was partly compensated by the franchise income, but nevertheless still a drop on the overall level. And reasons for that development have been well described by Jochen before, the weather conditions, but especially the Swedish development. Rest of world for Q2, first time including Australia, slight increase in improved EBITDA, but overall still very low levels for the group. We expect to grow that further for the next half of the year. If you move over to the half year numbers, more or less the same developments are as for Q2. Sales positive developments on system sales around 8 and on group sales around 14% with a reduction in margin. You see that restaurant contribution is still stable on the overall level. That means whatever we gained in Q1, we lost in Q2. Nevertheless, the adjusted EBITDA dropped down from 15.9 to 14 million, and majority of that drop relates to the headquarter and overhead cost, which counts around 2.5 million for that drop. On the segments, as you see on page 11 of our presentation, you see that we have still a positive development in Germany, slight improvement in margin. So the business is stable. The recovery, which we have seen in 2017, is continuing. And besides all external factors, we are able to grow that business on sales and EBITDA margin. The main area of focus for the management team is therefore the European business, where we see the margin drop also on half-year numbers, down from 18.7 on a segment level to 15, and even a drop in EBITDA from 13.6 to 13.3 million. Rest of world is a stable development, and the margin more or less also on a stable low basis. This brings me over to the adjustments which you also report for that segment today. You see here we had some gains to be reported in the Q2. One was for the foreign exchange rate gains and losses. So we had a first time a gain again after a few periods. And we also had a gain on our acquisition in Australia, which we have adjusted for. On the other flip side of the medal, we had further one-time costs of an amount of 4.2 million, mainly related to prior year costs, but also to further bad debt accruals on our franchise income. We are working heavily on restoring the situation there and hope also to reduce that bad debt accruals further on the way forward. In addition, pre-opening costs, which are also very important for us, are in line with our expectation, so we made progress on that point. During the last hours after announcement of the results, we already received some questions from analysts on our net financial debt position. You see that on page 13, which has increased due to the situation of additional capex, but low performing on restaurant contribution. And therefore, we have started now a dialogue with syndicate banks, our shareholders, but also other capital providers, in order to adjust the terms of our existing loans and to raise additional funds, mainly in the area of mezzanine and hybrid funds. We will report to the development, of course, as soon as we see results on that issue. CapEx was more or less on prior level with 33 million euros in average. And I can also say that majority of our spending, which is around 10 million, went to the French market. And the second large area of investment is Germany still, is our core market here. With this, I would hand over to Jochen, who will highlight our new guidance, or in our reduced guidance, as well as will give some more details on the Swedish market.
Okay, thank you, Lutz. So let me just point out what we have announced 7 working days back. Due to the described situation that we have been unsatisfied with our development in Sweden and the Q2 effects, we had to be review the possibility of reaching our old guidance. And here we have to say that we had to adjust in the group net sales slightly from 385 to 400 million on a like-for-like basis to the described first half year. And the market in transition in Sweden, we adjusted our like-for-like sales growth to zero, up to 1% versus 1% up to 3%, and that translate into an adjusted EBITDA from 48 to 54 million. We are looking in our new guidance to a range of 42 to 47 million. On the restaurant openings, we will deliver on the lower end of the guidance, but keep the guidance as it was announced early that year. Let me briefly just say a few words to Sweden. The Swedish market, in terms of its relevance to our like-for-like base, still is relatively strong due to the fact that on a like-for-like basis, it's the market with the most like-for-like restaurants following France and Austria. And Sweden has already in the past had one of the best four-wall EBITDA margins next to the French markets. Having said that, an impact of a like-for-like decrease on a double-digit base as we experienced in the first half year certainly can only be feelable on the EBITDA basis, of course, on a stronger volume, meaning we can cover up certain decreases in like-for-like in management of labor and in food cost, but you can't cover up all the like-for-like decrease that we experienced here. And on the other hand, in the analysis that we did for this week at Swedish market, we realized that we have a lack of operational excellency, so cutting labor costs would have been exactly counterproductive. That means it is very important that we now convince our existing guests and win new guests by good service and good restaurant experience, and that certainly you can deliver if you just work on labor cost reduction. So the Swedish market generally is in a transition. We realized a strong lack of operational excellency, and of course, the hottest summer for almost 100 years didn't help a recovery in Q2. I just said Swedish was the most profitable market, which therefore an overproportional EBITDA impact on our rest of Europe like-for-like cohort. What has happened and what are we doing right now with a strong management focus, especially also from our new COO, Mr. Ewerke, who is personally monitoring the market development and is personally also physically in the markets week by week now to secure our recovery. As we just said in Q1, we realized that our joint venture partners did not appoint the right managing director in the past, and when we saw the first weaknesses in the Swedish market, we right away managed to find a new CEO or a new managing director for the market. So we took a decision in Q4 to set up a new management. At the same time, we're very lucky to identify Christian Madsen, an ex-executive from McDonald's, and in a very short period of around 4 months, we could get him aboard, starting in the business in Sweden by mid-March. When Christian reviewed the market situation and when we also took over more operational direct responsibility within our joint venture governance, we realized that it would not only work by changing the head of the market, but we also realized that we had to change on different management levels, meaning on the first, on the second, and the third level of our organization. That brought us to exchange of three restaurant managers, and that brought us also to take decisions to replace the structure, the existing structure in marketing, purchasing, and finance. Parallel to that, in Q2, the operational excellency was restored in the market. How do we see that it is restored? We see that on one hand with our internal audits, on the other hand with our external audits, like the mystery shopping, which showed an increase from 86% to, in August now, 91% again. Meaning we're getting better, very objectively measured. In addition to that, we installed additional audits to really measure the improvement, not only by enlarging the number of internal audits, but also in measuring very intensively the feedback we get on social media about the restaurant development and the restaurant operations and experience for our customers. That brought us to a general base that now, since mid of August, we feel comfortable again to deliver marketing initiatives to bring back guests, because we lost, as I just said, a significant number of guests in the last 6 months in the Swedish restaurants. Now that operational excellency is getting better and better and is restored, we started now to bring traffic to the restaurant marketing initiatives back into the Swedish market on CRM basis, on digital basis, and of course also on local store marketing basis. Parallel to that, a new head of finance is hired, now joining us in Q3, and finally Q4, head of marketing will be in place in Sweden again. In the meantime, we leverage our global organization to bring in additional assistance and support into the Swedish team. Having said that, management is based on the fast restructuring, deep restructuring measurements we took to be back on track, as I just mentioned 7 days ago, in Sweden, latest by Q1 19. We will see a step-by-step recovery, and we believe that on a performance basis on EBITDA, we see that we will be back on track in Q1 19. On the level of turnover, we believe that in the course of the first half year of 19, we will see again the turnover levels that we were used to in our Swedish market. So briefly, let me sum up. It's not a structural issue in the Swedish market. It was a management focus, attention, operational excellency issue. Having said that, it will be our pleasure to hand over now to a discussion and your questions. Just let me briefly recap. Vapiano had an unsatisfying first half. It had an isolated issue in one of the most profitable markets where we are very confident that we took the right measures to be back on track fast. On the other hand, we had an outstanding, external effect in Q2 due to unusual hot weather situations and a global sports event that always has effects into consumer businesses. For the second half of the year, all measurements are now in place, starting from price increases in several markets all the way down to cost measurements, all the way down to a very intensive and close watch on the development of our businesses, so that we are confident to deliver the guidance we just brought to your attention 7 days ago. Thank you very much for your attention, and Lutz and me are very happy to answer now all your questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We will now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speakers, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask a question. If you find your question is answered before it's your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. First question is from Becky Lane. Your line is now open.
Thanks. Morning, Lutz and Jochen. Thanks for that. I've got three questions, if that's okay. The first one is just on the balance sheet. I know Lutz was speaking about it, but I couldn't really hear very well on the call. Could you just go through that again in terms of what you have agreed, if anything, for this quarter, given it's tested quarterly, and then what the plan is longer term? Obviously, I think you said you're still in agreement in negotiations surrounding that. The second thing was just on the Sweden margin and the contribution specifically in the context of the rest of Europe. Again, Jochen gave some detail, which was more kind of qualitative, but just wondered if you could talk us through a little bit more the contribution of Sweden to that significant margin decline for the rest of Europe, maybe more quantitatively. And the third thing I was going to ask about is the store rollout. Obviously, you're saying that it's going to be towards the lower range due to postponements. But on that basis, there's still obviously a fair number until the end of the year. And what are the implications for that in terms of pre-opening costs? Where do you see them for this year? Obviously, that was a bit of an issue with the weightings last year. Thank you.
So we start on the balance sheet question. First, I apologize. We got learned that my tone was too loud, so I will speak a little bit louder now. So in regards to the balance sheet situation, as I mentioned, we are at a leverage above 4. You can see that in the report which we issued that morning. We are in discussions with banks, which are existing banks, with new capital providers and our shareholders to restore the situation, to either renegotiate existing terms or to acquire new funds. This discussions have already been started a while ago, and we are in progress on that proceeds, and we will report, of course, as soon as we found an agreement on that.
Thank you.
In regards to the impact of the Swedish market compared to the prior year, we can report that it's roughly 1.4 million, a little bit more than that, on the deviation to prior years caused by the Swedish market.
Yeah.
And Becky, thanks for your question as well. In terms of rollout, if I understood your question well, it was the question on how much we're going to have in the second half of the year, in the Q4 and Q3, in terms of our openings. As I just said, we have opened already year-to-date 18 restaurants. We're going to have in Q3 a couple of more openings in the next days. There will two more openings come in Abu Dhabi and in Heidelberg. And the rest of the openings in a mix of joint venture and franchise will take place then in the second half of the year. The latest opening for the moment is planned for mid of December in Marseille. And then out of the rest of the openings, there will be a split between around 60% in October and then always 20% in November and December. In terms of the opening costs, we are in line with what Lutz mentioned in our last call. The opening costs per restaurant will be around 150,000 euros average.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next question is from Mr. Gordon from Berenberg. Your line is now open, sir.
Good morning. Three questions as well for me. I mean, it seems to me that footfall has got progressively worse over the last 9 months. So what can you say about what your feeling was the impact of weather and World Cup only, if you could do that? Secondly, how has footfall and like-for-likes looked through the end of August? Ideally by geography, but at least for the group, because obviously we're now getting to the phase where you've got good colour in the third quarter. And the third question is your adjusted EBITDA for the year is really looking pretty ambitious, even at the low end. You're 2 million lower than last year. You're saying Sweden is a high margin business and it's going to remain pretty challenged for the rest of the year. You're not taking costs out yet as far as mitigating that. So how should we be thinking about the phasing through the third quarter and fourth quarter for that adjusted EBITDA? And can you give us some more comfort that you will be able to get into the range? Thanks.
Yeah, of course. Thanks, Gordon. The last question will be answered by Lutz concerning the transformation of the EBITDAs in Q3 and Q4, or the development. Concerning football, so normally if you have a championship like the Weltmeister Cup, the global football championships, we have in markets 10% like-for-like decrease. And that is offset, of course, due to higher units per ticket. But as you can imagine, you have still around 7 to 8% that transfers into your turnover. What we have seen during the championships were two things. Number one, when the different, let's say, big teams were playing, we saw a footfall decrease in the cities up to 35-40% in our restaurants, so that was significant. And in addition to that, of course, we had a footfall decrease due to the hot weather. As I just said in my statement before, you can very clearly see that we were losing the non-business, let's say, traffic during the noon time. And we also were losing significantly in the evening, which was not the business traffic, but which was more our leisure guests. Because, briefly speaking, honestly speaking, the people were just sitting at home barbecuing over in their gardens. And, of course, this was over impacted in Sweden, where we only have two restaurants with terraces, because normally in a Swedish or Scandic market, you don't need terraces. So having said that, double-digit footfall decrease is coming out of this special impact. And you can see that easily in the German market, where we only had 0.9% decrease in Q1 versus now significantly 2.1% in the first half of the year. We could offset a little bit of this effect by our implementation of the takeaway and home delivery business. That helped especially the German market quite well, because you know there we have the highest distribution of takeaway and home delivery. It also helped the French champions as well. In the Swedish market, it could not offset significantly due to the young structure of the business there, and we don't have so many takeaways there yet. That's number one. Number two, for your question on Q3, of course, July was and the first days of August were also impacted exactly by the same situation. So middle of July, we still had hot weather. We still, the July pool was hot and August as well, and we still had the championship. So we also see a footfall decrease in the first half of the Q3, but we also see already a very good recovery of the Q3 actually in the September footfall and as well in our like-for-like development in Q3. So I hope that answers your question, Warren, and I would like to hand over to the adjusted EBITDA question to Lutz.
So your question was regarding the phasing between H1 and H2 for 2018 forecast.
No, sorry, from Q3 and Q4, because we know what the first half is.
So you mean what is the contribution of Q3 and Q4?
Well, you've not given any guidance for Q3. You're going to have to do 28 million, I think it is, which is significantly better than the 23 million you did last year in the second half, which looks at face value pretty challenging. So it's just, and clearly what Jochen has just said, we're also going to have softer. It looks like fairly soft Q3 like for like, so it's just to understand what we should be expecting as the phasing over the final two quarters instead of in terms of that adjusted EBITDA.
Okay, understood. So first of all, if you compare the quarters last year, we made in the second quarter 53% of our sales and around 60% of our EBITDA. is that our openings, which we did in 2017, very late, are start now contributing into the EBITDA, and therefore we expect that they will perform better in the second half of the year. So, second question is whether you see Q3 and Q4.
Excuse me, Stuart, may I just add this from the turnover side, what Lutz said. In addition to this, Stuart, we have a different base. In the first half year, last year, we grew by 6%. In the second half, we grew like-for-like by 4%. And the third reason to this is we will have price increases in several markets. In mid of September, we're going to have a price increase in the German market of 4%, where normally you can expect a flow-through of around 70% to 75%. We will also have a price increase in the British market. We also have a price increase in the Austrian market. So, and in the United States, we're going to have a price increase on the 1st of October. So the forecast on a like-for-like basis and the turnover impact has also some technical impacts that we have to take in consideration for the development. So let me put it that way. It's not a bet on better figures. It's all the development on a like-for-like basis. We based on technical effects and no bets of, let's say, outstanding footfall increase. But certainly what we counted in is that the impacts of the hot Q2 and the football, of course, is over. And you can see this if you look on the daily figures. So sorry to jump in to that. And that has an impact on EBITDA as well, of course.
Okay, in regards to the phasing between the quarters, we assume that we will see for the quarter three compared to last year a small increase in the EBITDA level, not a reduction what we have seen this quarter two. And we will see a significant improvement on quarter four. Main reasons for the better development we expect for quarter four is that last year the like-for-likes were weakening during Q4 already in our core markets, and therefore we will see a better development this year, and that's the current phasing in regards to the quarter.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Christian Runes. Equinet, your line is now open, sir.
Yes, hello, Christian Bruns. I have also a couple of smaller questions. For the effect of the consolidation of the Australian market, could you update us here what effect did that have? Then on prior year costs, you adjust your EBITDA by prior year costs, and I would like to get an idea what kind of costs these are. It's 2.8 million euros, and I don't know exactly what you mean by that. The two restaurants were closed. Where were they located, and were they corporate or franchise restaurants?
Okay, maybe we start with the last question first. Both of them are franchise restaurants. One of the restaurants, of course, is in Poland, and the other one is in Asia. So they are not affected on the consolidated restaurant. In regards to the prior year costs, you have asked the detailed breakdown. Of course, we have completed. It's not really one area. One of the big areas is always what we get in additional charges from our landlords retroactive for years before. And we also have additional consulting costs which we had to recognize where last year's accruals were not on a sufficient level. And then smaller areas back and forward over the group in regards to operational areas. And then, of course, we had the biggest item, which is our write-down on our franchise fees. We had to accrue for around 0.8 million euros. Then you had the question regarding the JV in Australia. For the second quarter 2018, the impact of Australia to our numbers were on the sales side 2.6 million and on the EBITDA before franchise fees around 300,000
James Ryan Clark. Your line is now open.
Hi there. I've got three questions, please. I think on an underlying basis, the central costs as a proportion of revenue have gone up in Q2. So I wondered if you could explain that. The second one is the double-digit decline in like-for-like seen in Sweden. I know you're expecting a return to positive development in Sweden soon, or at least earlier next year. But could you provide your sort of best guess or plan as to when you'll see sales per restaurant return to what they were before the transition? And then finally, have the issues in Sweden in the JV there driven you to look at other JVs or franchises more closely?
Okay, in regards to your first question on the headquarter cost, majority of that investment are, of course, to build up the new markets which we have entered, and also certain resources we have built up in our headquarters to support the growth after the IPO proceeds were received. As I stated before, we are already in discussions now to further reduce this in the second half of the year, and an initiative has been started to align this increase to the reduced sales forecast, especially on the like-for-like. As I stated, sorry, it maybe was not understood during the call. We expect a significant program, and we expect that second half year our headquarter overhead costs will be lower than in the first half of the year.
Okay. Let me take over, James, the other two questions. First of all, in our JV businesses, of course, experiencing a situation like in Sweden gave us additional focus on our JV businesses going forward. And what does that mean? First of all, we're going to talk in, normally a JV is like in a board structure. So you have, as you know, strong operations like the Funder Files or Salvatore Perry in France. And then you, from our strategic model, the daily operations are in the hand of our JV partners. Going forward, we will have more, a closer look on the daily, day-to-day operations in our JVs, not only in board meetings, but we installed in the meantime a weekly monitoring together with our COO on a restaurant base, like with all the KPIs that are important. And what we experience and learn from the Swedish situation, and I guess we have shown already that we, the management here, is able to turn around the market. If you remember the German PR crisis I had to shoulder 3 years ago. But what we have learned now, that in addition to the KPIs we see, because if something goes wrong with experience, people vote with their feet slowly. Yeah, and then suddenly they vote, they run away. This is what we experienced in Sweden. So we have additionally established a view on the remarks we see objectively, meaning not only our mystery shopping, but also all the online tools you can get, like the ratings from guests, like the Facebook reviews of guests, etc. And this is part of our evaluation of the development of our restaurants going forward. So you we can assure that management is very closely on the actual JVs. We don't have issues in our actual JVs. And the most important JV for us going forward, the French one, is, by the way, showing a very, very positive and over-budget development also in the first half of this year. Having said that, yes, there's more sensitivity on a weekly basis on the restaurant level to monitor our joint ventures. And to your question, when do we assume that the sales in the Swedish JV are back on where they have been before? We believe that it's a realistic approach that by the, let's say, end of the first half of next year, we could be back on the level of our sales there. It will be a ramp up, and that ramp up, as we just said, starts now by bringing traffic back to the restaurant, by building up trust in our operational excellency, by building back trust to the brand, and by building back a positive buzz for Vapiano. And I think, assuming that this takes to the full recovery to mid of next year, it makes sense. But definitely the bleeding will stop earlier. And the impact on the EBITDA will stop as well earlier, as we just announced by latest end of Q1 19.
Thank you very much.
you as well, James. Are there further questions in the line?
No, no further question. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now. We received a follow-up question from Christian Bruns. Your line is now open, sir.
Yes, hello. I have a follow-up on the financing. I did not really get it, maybe acoustically, but I think you breached a covenant in your financing, and can you elaborate what consequences this will have?
Mr. Bruns, we did not breach the covenant in the financing. We are in a situation where we currently are in renegotiation with our credit institutions in regards to our financing. We are also contacting new potential financing partners or our shareholders to discuss the financing situation as it stands for now. And we are in positive discussions, but we cannot give any details now, but we are in very positive discussions, and we will, as soon as we have an update, report this, of course, to the capital market.
Okay, but you would still say that you don't need an increase in equity, that you will be possible, it will be possible to solve this with debt.
We are in discussions, but our favorite option is not a capital increase. We are in favor of more a hybrid or mezzanine capital, which we are discussing currently.
Okay, thanks.
We received a follow-up question from Becky Lane. Your line is now open, madam.
Hi, Lutz, Jochen. I just wondered if, again, you could just run through, I know Jochen outlined the kind of like-for-like growth ex-Sweden for the group and rest of year of H1. Do you mind just repeating that again, please?
Of course. So if, Becky, let me just go back to the overview here. In Q2, without the Swedish impact, rest of Europe, we would have seen a 0.2% like-for-like increase. And in the full year so far, meaning Q1 and Q2 half year 2018, without the Swedish market, we would have shown a like-for-like increase of 0.3%.
Great. And for the group, I think you said negative 70 basis points.
Oh, for the group, without on the Q2, without Sweden, we would have seen a 0.7 like-for-like negative.
Yeah.
And for the full year, Becky, we would have seen a 0.4 positive for the group for the first half year.
Great. Thank you very much.
More than welcome.
Next follow-up question is from Stuart Gordon, Berenberg. Your line is now open, sir.
Hi guys. Just a point of clarity, the comments on Sweden recovering to previous levels for the first half 19, do you mean, I assume you just mean from the easier comparables for the first half of 18, or do you actually mean you're expecting double-digit recovery back to 2017 levels? And secondly, on the financing, Lutz, could you give us some more detail on what covenants you actually have and the levels that they're set at, please?
I start with the covenant question. So our covenants, as we calculate them for capital markets, are 4.2. You can see that in the report. For the banking, we have a different covenant calculation because existing shareholder loans do not count for that. Our covenant with the banks is 3.5. We are currently above that covenant, which we have with the banks, but we had a waiver for the Q2, and we are now in discussions to restore the financing situation. In regards to the mezzanine capital, if we would achieve mezzanine capital or a kind of hybrid capital, that wouldn't count for the banking covenant. Therefore, we can restore the covenant situation.
Okay.
Is it clear, Stuart?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. And James, to your question on the base for Sweden. So what we said by the end of this year, the early Q1 19, we
are very confident that we have stopped the bleeding. Yeah. The full recovery on the like-for-like level that we had in Sweden by, let's say, Q3 last year is definitely hard to predict. Yeah. So I would be serious to really say, okay, by Q2 19 we are back in every restaurant on the full level. But for us, what we meant more is that we regain our EBITDA performance faster than the like-for-like recovery due to the fact that there are a lot of measurements in place, especially brought in also by our new COO, who has strong experience in gross profit management from his SSP background, that the recovery in EBITDA, and that means the strong bleeding of losing really serious millions in EBITDA in Sweden, that this would be done by latest end of H1 next year.
Okay.
But on a restaurant basis, it's really hard to say if Stockholm 8 is fully on mid of last year, by mid of next year. That certainly would be a little bit too prescriptive, and I don't feel comfortable with doing that. Yeah. But the important, I think, for us is the impact of EBITDA. And the impact of EBITDA, there we're back by H1 19. And you will see also a recovery Q by Q in the next calls on our Swedish market, especially by end of Q4. I'm very sure about that. Is that answering your question, James? Stuart.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
We received a next question from James Ryland Clark, Barclays. Your line is now open, sir.
Hi. Yeah, so I've got a follow-up to Rebecca's question earlier. You've kept openings guidance unchanged at 30 to 35, but likely to be at the bottom end. Could you just elaborate on where the delays are? I think you said there are a few postponements. And exactly why those delays have happened. Just a bit of color on that would be great.
Of course. James, it's like the daily life issues. I give you an example. Remember last year we talked about the hurricane in Miami? Of course, that's a delay that you can easily accomplish. That's why Miami opened in Q1. There's one big restaurant that is fully built in the heart of your city. It's Tottenham Court Road, and we were planning to open Tottenham Court Road in Q4 last year. If you go there today, you see a wonderful restaurant over Piano closed. Why? Because the city of London still was unable to prepare the market square in front of our restaurant, which is again in front of the huge new spit out of the subway. So it's like that. Together with Pret a Manger and Rhubarb, we are ready to rumble, but we can't because it would just be a waste of money because the city of London is not ready yet. Another example, sorry again, UK, Canary Wharf. We were almost ready to start our construction in time, which, by the way, you know that probably, James. It's right next to your office, I guess. But what we found out is when we did the deconstruction, that in, I don't know, whenever that was, in those days, they built in the, how is it called? But before it was this cancer. Asbestos. Sorry, I didn't get the English word for that. Excuse me. So they found out asbestos. Number one, we had to check all the asbestos stuff. Number two, now the ductwork from the restaurant that was in there before is not legally anymore because you can't do, you can't open the duct pipes on the way to the end, and it's not legal anymore if you don't want to get fire issues or don't want to be fully legal compliant. So that's the next delay. Having said that, we start constructing now in Canary Wharf in December, but we cannot open anymore this year. It will be an opening in Q1. So it's really stuff like that. It's nothing else. Another example, Vienna Main Station. Vienna Main Station is a full new development at the backside of the railway station. And we can't do the handover in time because the constructors of this new building are not ready in time. So these are the let's say, the delays. I would call them classic delays in all sort of businesses that are relying also on the real estate guys and the developers. No delays from our side. On the other hand, a few of great openings are coming, like London Tower Bridge as an example, or Berlin East Side Gallery pretty soon, or Nice Riviera. So the rest is, as I just said, on track. Then, if you want to be more in detail, there was also another delay in Wuhan due to the political situation, so the opening was postponed and another time postponed. On the other hand, a new one came in Hungary, so that's the daily operational deviations. Nothing structural.
Thank you.
You're welcome, James.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now.
Okay, if there are no further questions, maybe I can give sort of a final statement from the executive board. First of all, thank you for joining the call. Second, we understand the, let's say, not satisfactory delivery of figures in the first half year, and you can imagine that management is pretty unsatisfied with our first half year. But I think it is very important to understand that this is not in any case, a structural issue of the restaurant model, of the plans of La Piano itself, or the acceptance of the model. And there are a lot of good counterexamples, like the French one, like the British one, like the stable German development, that can explain and give more security to that. We had a road bump in one market, which was very important on his EBITDA contribution. Countermeasurements are clearly in place. An additional support with an executive function for the operations is focused pretty much on the business. And in addition, we had an external factor in Q2 that was more than I think all of us had expected. Having said that, we want to give, let's say, confidence that management took all necessary measurements to bring the EBITDAs as fast as possible back on track. We wanted to be transparent. That's why we went out with our Outlook adaption. So we feel that we are on a good way back to recovery as soon as possible, as we just described. And in addition, I just want to announce what I just saw here a minute ago, that we also get, let's say, some trust from our older shareholders who took also part in selling during the IPO. I just got the information that Fininvest just increased by over 15% their shares, and it should be out pretty soon. So I think the story of La Piano is pretty much intact. The measurements are in place, and we will keep you updated with the next in our next call. If there are any further questions in between, management is more than happy to discuss with you in face-to-face meetings or on detailed calls to give you more support for your analysis, for your evaluation, and hopefully also more confidence in the La Piano development going forward. Having said that, I want to thank you for your time, thank you for your support, and we wish you a great rest of the day. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may disconnect.